Okay, good evening. So, to be perfectly honest, I don't remember exactly where we left off last time. If someone knows, we could... Okay, so I know some of the inyan we discuss. We'll try to avoid those, and I mean discuss them. We're still in the Malach of Kosev and Mochik, and want to just cover another couple of points. So let's start with this. I'm not sure if we started with this last time or not. The question, one of the contemporary shilas is, what is the status of writing, or for that matter, having pictures on a digital form or a computer screen, or any other form, any type of digital type of writing or pictures. Is that called ksiva on Shabbos? And what level ksiva is it? So it's nogeya, obviously, very many things. It's nogeya, for example, cases where a person has a strong need to write something. Let's take the extreme case where he has to write something else. There's a question of sakonas nefashos where a person is being treated in a hospital, and there's certain information that absolutely must be recorded because of the person's well-being, not just as an extra, but this is information they need to know, or data that has to be recorded. So is it better to write it on a computer screen than to write it with a regular pen or pencil or just putting it down? Or let's say if a person has to, for that matter, let's say a person has to sign to allow for a medical procedure. Now again, if it's sakana, so at the end of the day you could do whatever you do is okay. The question is, we still try to do what's called hakal tchile, try to do the smaller violation or the smaller being we try to be docha Shabbos in a less severe way rather than in a more severe way when you have options in front of us. So is it better to write on a computer screen, or maybe it's better just to take your left hand and write with your left hand? Now, I did mention last time, I believe, that although writing with a pen or a pencil, or a similar type of writing implement, writing with your left hand for a righty, or for that matter, a right hand but for a lefty, is called a shinui, and it reduces to a rabbanon, which is not the case by almost all the other malachas. But many say that's only conventional writing. It's not like Xeris HaKosov. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and one of the things Kadosh Baruch Hu told him is that if you write with your left hand, you're not Chayiv Min HaTorah. No, it's because there's a general rule called Shinui, and by most malachas, you do it with your left hand. It's not called a Shinui. It's not, even if you're better at it with your right hand, but you could get it done very efficiently and very effectively with your left hand as well. But writing, it's usually not the case. A person who's only right-handed and not ambidextrous, so writing with his left hand is usually going to be a pretty poor form of script, and therefore it's considered a shinui. But if that's the case, if that's the reason, which it is, so then pushing a button on a computer to write something, or even pushing, typing, let's say, on a computer, will not necessarily be a shinui, because it doesn't involve the same difficulty to do that type of writing with the left hand as it does to do conventional writing. And just like, as I said, by practically all the other malachas of Shabbos, it's not called a shinui, even though I might be better at it with my right hand, but lamaisa I can do it with my left hand too. It's not enough of a chesaron to be called a shinui. So here too, many say that's the case. Now, I think I mentioned last time, the Chayyadim says not like this. Chayyadim says that it's used to say that the small applies as a shinui all over the Malach of Kosev and Mochik. But many say not like that. So the question is, if I have a choice now, I can write with my left hand, I could sign, let's say I have to sign, and so I mentioned before, if it's sakana, so we still want to know which is less chamer, but let's say it's not even sakana. It might be a case where a person needs some sort of medical treatment or whatever it may be, not for a case of sakana, but something which is, he's a cholo, though, he's a legitimate cholo where ayidei akum, he could get it. Let's say stitches, for example. Say stitches, which he's not going to die if he doesn't get the stitches. Certainly if he waits till after Shabbos. It's not even considered like a suffix sakana. But it's serious enough that it's okay to have a goy do it. So, and it's okay to, well, let's say, to get into a an Uber or a cab driven by a guy, not to call Hatzalah, because you'll have Jewish drivers driving you to the hospital for a situation which is clearly not Sakana, so you don't call Hatzalah, but you call a cab or an Uber, and you do that with a Shinui, and call, the phone call and the Uber connection, whatever, on your cell phone is all to Rabbanans anyway, and certainly if you use a shinui for that, and shinui meaning not just your left hand, but you actually use like your knuckles, you use the back of your hand in a way that it is awkward. So you, and that way you get the car to take you. Hopefully you'll get a non-Jewish driver. get a Jewish driver, then don't get into the car if you realize beforehand. Yeah, right. If you said Shabbat Shalom, right? There are documented cases like that. I know, just very big kids, sort of a Shashiva who, when he was, his wife was expecting, and he was living at, he was a Shashiva, now a Tenor Shashiva, and he wanted to do everything not to be, I think he didn't even call the cab. I think he went to the, walked over to the police station and asked them to call a cab for him. And then on the cab, on the way to the whatever he mentioned, the driver says, yeah, I know all about it. My mother used to light candles. So that was, okay. Anyway, actually, doesn't really mean for sure Jewish, but at least his mother thought she was Jewish, and he thinks his mother's Jewish. So, and this was going back maybe 50 years, so it's chances that you are were a little bit better even than they are nowadays. Anyway, but so you go with the Uber or the cab, and then there'll be a non-Jew, you know, a non-Jewish doctor or medical technician, whatever it is, gonna do the stitches. So it's like that, yeah. If it's considered a chole, a form of chole that you're allowed to have taken care of on Shabbos, even though it's not a sakana, you're allowed to do it. But the question is, they want you to sign. They want you to sign a waiver or whatever, you know, whatever you have to sign. So often you can get out of it and tell them that, you know, you can't sign for religious reasons. You can sign after Shabbos, but you can't sign now. Or you could authorize them if you want to sign. You can sign on my behalf. Oftentimes you can get out of it. But let's say they say no, they're not going to do it without signing, and it's something that's important enough. So you should be able to sign with your left hand, you know, with a regular pen with your left hand. You sign it with a shinui. Especially, you don't even have to really write any letters. Signing nowadays just means put some ink on the paper where it says.
Is that better if you don't write the letters?
Yeah, I think it's better because it's not even like, what do you say? Well, it's a roshem. It's not a roshem. You know, in other words, don't, if you normally scribble, don't even do your normal scribble, because then you can say, oh, that's your normal scribble. Maybe you can say, oh, that's you. That's a roshem for you. You take the pen and go, and with your left, still use your left hand, but so you could do that, or you could use a computer. They'll give you one of these pads. That's probably what they'll do. They'll give you one of these pads with an electronic pen. So if that's not called ksiva at all, maybe it's better. But say, well, it's not ksiva at all, but it's something, right? It is something. It's some sort of drabanan, at least type of malacha, whatever you want to call it, some sort of havara, or there's something going on there. You're using some sort of electricity or something. You're doing something, right? So even if it's not ksiva, so it probably is something drawn. But the question is, if we'll consider that ksiva deraisa, so then obviously that would be worse. And then using your left hand might, well, so it depends. I mean, if it's one of these pens where you have to actually sign, so I guess your left hand would be a shinui there too. You're still signing. But if it's just like pushing buttons and stuff, then your left hand wouldn't help. Okay, anyway, that's just one. That was a long-winded description of just to give an example. But there are other, you know, many other cases where it comes up, computerized writing, or the shaila is also by cameras, security cameras. So where if you go in front of a security camera, which is on, someone's taking a picture of you. So question, pictures are also writing. If you draw a picture on a paper, it's also writing. So is that called writing? If I go in front of a security camera, which is gonna, my image is gonna appear now on a screen, is that called writing? And that's nogeha. It's nogeha going to a lot of places, but it's also nogeha. It might be nogeha your own home. Could you have such a thing on your? You want to leave on a security camera in your own home? Is it okay to leave it on? And there are going to be plenty of Jewish people passing by or coming to your door, or whatever it is. Okay, so this seems to be a machlokas poskim, whether what the level of this ksiva is. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as taking this very seriously, that computerized writing is deraisa. He's quoted, he's there are two tshuvas in this set of Svarim, Yisa Yosef, written by Rav Yosef Efrati, who was very close to Rav Yashiv, and he has a number of volumes of tshuvas which are completely based on Rav Yashiv's psukim. Or at least...
Written or
oral? Written. The psukim are written or oral? Often oral, but what I mean is it's not just somebody who went to Rav Yashiv often and he asked him shailas and he made a sefer out of it, which could have value also, but it was a person that was with him, was close with him.
It
was it Talmud?
Yeah,
Talmud and he worked with him and a lot of things. So, I believe a lot of the tshuvas are there are shailas that he was one of the people that you would send shailas to Rav Yashiv through. I know we did there one time. We sent him a fax once from Chicago, but a certain shaila, and asked, in asking him to present the shaila to Rav Yashiv as during an official shaila, so to speak, not just a on the run type of thing. And also he was there a lot, and some of the stuff he probably heard, numerous times. And it's not just, they're not one liners. They're tshuvas. They're based on relationship psukim, but they're tshuvas. There's content to them other than just the mutar aser, type of thing. So okay. Anyway, so he has two tshuvas. One in chelik aleph, simen ayin ches, and then chelik dalet, simen pei beis, about security cameras specifically by the coastal of Maravim. When they wanted to when they were starting to put up security cameras by the coastal some years back, the question arose whether that presents a difficulty or an absolute deterrent, maybe for Yidden to go there on Shabbos. So, just here. So at the beginning, so in this tshuva here in the Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Ches, he brings here. And this is the type of thing. This was like obviously a big issue at the time. We have to start telling people you can't go to the coast on Shabbos.
Is it the date?
No, the tshuva is not dated. Let's see if he mentions the date. But I'll tell you what. Just a brief. I was in Eretz Israel for a few weeks in 1995, and I once went to speak to Rav Neubert, the author of the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa. And I met there in the waiting area, I met a young fellow, young meaning he's probably around my age, I don't know at the time, was whatever, it was 30s, 40s, I don't know exactly, but who was Israeli police officer. And he told me he was there to discuss this exact shaila with Rav Neubert about security cameras in the old city. I don't know where. This is 95. Now I assume the shaila was, I'm sure, sort of new or relatively new at this time. I just tell you very because of that he told me. I don't know what Rav Neubert told him about that, but he told me something else. He told me that when he was a young boy and he was graduating, but whatever they call it there, the elementary level yeshiva and going into high school, so he wanted to go to a regular, full-fledged yeshiva high school, and his parents wanted him to go to a religious high school, which is not a yeshiva, but a Orthodox Israeli high school, but non-yeshiva. So he went. So he told me he went as a 12, around bar mitzvah, whatever age, around that age. He went to Rosh Lomazan Arbach. He went to go ask him if he has to listen to his parents, or did he fight his parents, or whatever. So he told me that. So he's waiting for Rosh Lomazan, to be called in. When he was called in, he said he was so awestricken, Rosh Lomazan, that he couldn't talk. He couldn't, he couldn't say anything, get words out of his mouth. So you imagine Rosh Hashanah, probably a lot of people waiting to speak to him. This is during, he had certain hours. It wasn't open all day that you. And so he told him, so he said a selling, said, look, if you can't ask the shayla, so come back when you can. He said, okay, look, so he tried to relax, and he says, so sit here and sit here for a while. I'll meet with some other people, and you know, when you're feeling up, when you're up to the comes, you'll come in and ask Rishayla. And I don't know if he gave him a cup of tea or whatever, but he like worked with him, and he told him, you know, sit and he encouraged him to relax and be able to ask. Ultimately, he did, and he asked Rishayla. So from what I recall, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told him that. From what I recall, now again, then this, again, obviously this type of Shaila is not, oh, you hear a psak and that's what everybody does. I mean, it could be. You know, a lot of circumstances. I don't know what questions he might have asked him, or if he knew the boy and his family. But he told him, from what I recall, that you know, at this point, he should follow what his parents want and go where they want. It was a firm place. It just wasn't the yeshiva, and it was, you know, probably had just courses in Gemara and courses and stuff. But he said he should go to that place, go there. And but his parents see that he's like very sincere, and eventually they'll come around. Eventually, let him, you know, if he goes there and shows his sincerity and willingness not, you know, to cooperate with his parents, but there's still a strong desire to go to yeshiva, mustama, they'll eventually allow him to. Now, if you ask me what happened, I don't remember. I don't remember if he told me, but this is many years later. He was already a police officer. He wasn't in yeshiva anymore, so I don't remember what happened. But anyway, that was a story he told me. So he was there to ask for Shlomo Zalman the shaila. Not for Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman wasn't living. The summer I was there, that was it was during the Yud Beis Chodesh. Shlomo Zalman had been nifter half a year before. It was the shul where I davened. Rabbi Israel Erbach was, you know, his son davened. He was in Beit Vegan, and he was davening for them because it was during his. Yid Beis Chodesh for his father, so I never got to see Shlomo Zalman, I don't think. But I did during that summer. I did get to speak to Yashiv, you know, for a number of times. Anyway, so Yashiv told him, and he brings here in this tshuva. So this is the type of tshuva I was going to say. What I was saying is that it was a big thing, and I'm sure if someone like Rabbi Frati was probably involved, and you know, it wasn't like a one to with Rabbi Yashiv was a pack, but it was the type of thing that working with tried. What could they work out? How could they get it done? So he says originally Rabbi Yashiv said no, can't go to the Kaisel, can't go. He says Marenu Maran Horab is mano lehimana milelech lekosim b'shabbes v'yantiv. The paskin should not go. Mishum shaladaitu usher lehikanis b'shabbes kodesh v'yantiv l'shetach hametzulam b'mareches b'maygal segor to a, you know, closed circuit, something is under closed circuit camera supervision. And even though as soon as you leave, you know, it's like it's not a permanent sob, you're just your image just on the camera as long as you're standing there. When you walk away, it's gone. So he said, ki zed doma l'ksav shenimchak, ki shere kol od nishar hu alamudo ba'osamakom, as long as you stand in that one place, your image is going to continue to appear on the computer, on the screen rather. And so he held it. Then, so if you walk away, it's like you erased it. So you took it off. It's not ksav she'enu shalkiyim. That's what he's saying. It's not like it's not miskayim. It is miskayim. If you leave, it'll go away. Okay, but it's like you erased it. But kozman, you're there, and it'll show you. And therefore, he held it. That was like mamish, like writing. And he compared it, he says, or I'm not sure if Rabbi Yashiv compared it, or Frati is comparing it to somebody who writes on his skin. The Rambam says if you write on your own skin, even though eventually it's going to fade away because of the heat, the body heat is going to make it fade away, that's still called, that's called writing, that's Ksiva Deraisa, and it's just that it gets erased. But it's not called Einu Miskayim, it's called it was Miskayim, and it got erased. Supposedly you're writing in a place that it has no... It doesn't stand a chance. It can't stay at all. This could stay. It just eventually the body heat erases it. So he said people shouldn't go to the coast. So then it says they spent a lot of effort to try to work something out so that people, you know, could go in a way that the Rabbi Yashiv would allow it. There might have been others that were not there anyway, but certainly many people would want to follow the Pesach of Rabbi Yashiv. So they spent a lot of effort to try to they invested a lot of effort into it to try to work it out. And one of the main things they tried to do was that to make it that it would not this point that I just said would change, that even if the person would stay in the same place, his image would disappear from the screen. It would just be the screen would pick it up, and then after a few seconds it would go away. So that would be considered more ksav she'eino shel kayama, which at worst would be a derabanan, and then already when dealing with the worse is the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan, it's called Ksav Kilachar Yad. It's not a normal way of writing to appear in front of a computer, a camera rather, and it writes you. So it would be already a combination of the Rabbanans and for Tzarech Mitzvah, etc. So he would allow it. So that's what he tried to do, and maybe they worked it out now, because the next tshuva is in the fourth chelik. I guess they're not dated, but the next tshuva is the fourth chelik, simin pei beis. And let's open here. Brings again Mishum Kach Bikesh Maran she is sadru as Hamatzleimot Hamatzuyah B'derech Lakos Hamarav Shifel Ba'Open Shatzmuna Tafsik Lofiel Amesah Hachriz Man Mesuyim. He wanted that they should arrange it in such a way that the image would go off the screen, even if you would continue to stand there. Va'az Yichra Shifadav Kiksav Shein Miskayim. Okay, once again. Yeah, so okay, so then he says that they brought up to Rav Yashiv that, but even if that happens, still Hari Nisha Rishim al Hadisk, V'Dayin Yesh Kan Ksiba. It's even if it's not on the computer screen, but there is it's imprinted on a computer disk. So he says that he wasn't worried about. Daitu Haisla She Simanim al Disk She'inim Nirim little. Whatever types of marks or whatever you want to call it on the disc, which are not visible, which could become, they could look like writing or pictures if you, install it into the computer, or whatever. Lo chashiv ksav, that he held is not called ksav, that didn't concern him. Okay, so besides here, a number of the others from they bring that Rabbi Yashiv was chashish that. A regular stand case of a computerized writing, which is niskayim, is considered ksiva deraisa. Most of the poskim I saw, most notably Rosh Hashanah Arbach, held that it's at most the derabbanan, and it sounds like from different things he writes that it could be lekabi hilchas ksav. It's not even the derabbanan. It might involve some other electricity or certain things. But he seems to feel that it's could be it's not even called the Rabbanan, because the way it works that I couldn't explain to you exactly how it works, but the way it works that the letters or the images appear on a screen is not called writing. It's just like a different lights, different things shine based on what buttons you press or things that you do, and it makes this you see at one time, this, and this, you don't see that, you do see this, so it appears like a letter. That's a very, very schwache form of writing, definitely not the Reis, and sounds like possibly not even the Rabbanan. So let me just, that's Rosh Hashanah, but many of the other posts seem to go the way. So in the Kovitz Halachas, which is the Svar Sefer that's based on the Pesachim of Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky, so he writes here, an interesting nekuda, which is a very important nekuda. This is in the second chelik of Kovitz Halachas, Perek Lamed Tes, Se'if Lamed Vav. I'll just read the Lashon. The Lashon is Rabbi Kleinman, who put together the Sefer, but as I said, based on Rav Shmuel's Psakim and Shitas. And this is, he sits and learns it with Rav Shmuel and writes the Sefer based on his Siddurim, learning the Inyanim together with him. Ha'nichnas o'over b'makam sheish bo matzleimot ha'makrinos is t'munas v'gabi mesach yitzbo. The person goes to a place where there is cameras which will make his image appear up on a screen. Im ein daitu klal al hofos t'munas v'ala mesach. If he has no concern for it, he doesn't care about it at all, that his image is going to show there. It's just somebody else set this up, and he doesn't like. He's like he goes into a building or somewhere where there's a security camera, and he has no. He couldn't care less if his image appears on the screen or not. He has nothing to gain by the fact that they see his image on the screen. They're doing it for their safety in case somebody comes in or does something who's someone of ill repute or somebody who does something which is improper. They want to have it recorded. They want. But the person himself doesn't care at all. You're allowed to go there. Avalim Ritzona Bakavanasa Shiafiat Minasala Mesach Yesh Lesar. If you tackle one, you want to be seen, then Yesh Lesar. So, and he explains in the bottom here that if you don't care, if you have no interest in it, then he said it's even less than a psik racial on nichali. Shein lo in you klal b'tmunaso hamukrenes lagabe yamesech. I'm there, and you said something. I'm just mamish walking lefi tumi. I'm doing what I do. I need to go into this building, and you set something up that's going to draw a picture of me, and you can say technically I'm causing it because I'm stepping into the area of the range of the. Of the where the electronic rays are there, but I'm stepping there with no interest or thought given to the fact that that's happening, just doing what I need to do. That doesn't count. Now, I actually heard during that summer of 1995 from the director from Eliashiv a similar thing. Like, I asked him about lights. You know, when people have automatic lights attached to the house that you walk by out in the street and somebody's light goes on from somebody's house or somebody's garage or whatever it is. So I asked Rabbi Yashu, if that's a problem, do I have to avoid walking in such a street? So he said to me, no, it's no problem. He said, first, it's a davar shein miskaven. So I said, that's a davar shein miskaven. But I said, but you know what's going to happen, and it's psik resh. If I know in this particular, if I pass by this house, I know there's a light that goes on. And so it's a davar shein miskaven, it's psik resh. The antidote or whatever, the opposite of the davar shein miskaven is when it's psik resh, where moder of shem and psik resh are dasim. So he responded, it's a garnish, it's a garnish, it's nothing. It's don't worry about it, it's nothing. Now, which I understood, and I think in conjunction with a tshuva that, there's a tshuva in the Shevet HaLevi about this, where I think he says this idea that it's nothing because it's nothing to do with me. You, this person set up, assuming again, I don't care, I'm not walking there because I want extra light, so I'm dafka walking in front of this guy's house so that I, you know, I'd be able to see. No, absolutely not. I'm walking there and because that's my path home from shul or wherever else I'm going. I have no connection to that light. He set up this invisible electronic field. Yeah, that happens to be on the side of his house. There's a little whatever it is, a doohickey there.
Sensor.
That sensor. Okay, thank you. And that's causing some sort of, let's say, some sort of invisible, imperceptible electronic rays or something, which when I walk in there, which I'm just walking normally, all of a sudden it sets off the light. So that's, no, it's not misyaches to me. It's not considered my maisa. It's not like I didn't do anything. I just walked with itumi, and like his lashon here, it's hard. It's pachas afilim psikreishal nichale. It's garish. It's not considered my maisa. That's the part I think. I'm pretty sure that's the part in Rosh Hashanah Shuvah about this. That's not considered my maisa. And so that's the way I understood what Rabbi Yashu said. And from what I recall, he didn't say. I don't think he gave more direct explanation, but. Like I said, his first response was davar shein miskaven. Now, obviously, he knows the psik resh also, but you know, he's davar shein miskaven. So when I asked back, and he says it's garnish, it's nothing. You know, he didn't say, well, you know, it's, if you can't avoid it, so psik resh l'nichale. He didn't say that. I understood him to mean garnish. I think he said it's garnish. I think that was his last necklace. He is, but I believe that's the way he said. And you know, with the, like, he dismissed it. He might have dismissed it. So the way I understood, that's a lot less than saying segregation nichale. So nichale, we're not mekel chachilo. Mekel, if you have no choice and whatever else there, you could be mekel. But it's garnish means you don't have to. Now, of course, it's not so shabbistic. It doesn't feel so good when you're walking down the street and the light pops on. So of course, if you you know it's going to happen and you could easily avoid it, so. I wouldn't discourage a person from avoiding it. I myself would avoid it if I know it's going to happen. But sometimes, you know, people have a shot sometimes that they can't avoid it, or it's extremely difficult. In order to avoid it, they have to make all sorts of sivuvim, or, you know, go around, go in inconvenient way or to avoid it, because it's sometimes in some places it's not just one light, it's a couple of lights, and they have to, you know, hop around. So okay, he says nothing. So that's I think the similar what he's saying here also. This camera, it's not mishachis to me. It's nothing to do with me that you set this camera. If I taka want it, I'm interested. Now, interested can mean one of two things. One thing could mean something like a place where you want to be visible for your security. In other words, let's say, I mean, I think I saw this right, like by the coastal. It could be that you know you want to be seen on the screen so that it's safer for you that somebody's keeping an eye. Someone's sitting in a station somewhere, unfortunately, on doing this in Shabbos, but they're keeping an eye on they're watching the screens, and so the fact that you're on the screen helps, you know, you're safer. Or it also could mean, you know, the shaila has come up more than once, or certainly the discussion has come up more than once, but people that have a simcha, bar mitzvah, or an ofer or something in a shul that has cameras, and they want to know, is there any possibility that I can get the tape? You know, could you send me an email? You know, email me today's from whatever, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. 12 noon on the Shabbos morning. In which the answer, at least in any place I know, is absolutely not. I mean, so first of all, here, so before I get to wives, that would be another case. If you know that there's going to be yes, so then you definitely want it, and you might even who knows what you do. But even if you don't do anything, only if you just try to ignore it. But you're very much nichele that they show me getting my li and giving my child a big hug after, or whatever, or the bris, or the, you know, whatever simcha it is. But besides, so that would be a mamash case of Rubitsonu Bukabanosa Shifiat Munasol Mesech. And there, but there is that you might argue, say, well, that's not the Mesech. The screen very often, like in many places, is off. The screen, there are places that will have the cameras on Shabbos, you know, very from, you know, places that are very, very up, you know, careful in halacha will have this cameras on in because of possibilities of situations where they might be needed. And I was told that the police requested that the over here that they leave the cameras on Shabbos to help them and aid them in in crime control. But the screens are totally off, right? There's, you know, if you walk into the office, the screen is completely off. You don't see anything. There's a film somewhere. There's like the thing that, so that you could say, well, it's not even as bad as he's talking. He's talking about if you want your picture on the screen, and you want someone else to watch, you know, or you like the case of the coastal, you want to be seen for your security. You want to be while you're standing there. I want somebody able to see me the whole time I'm there, so that I know I'm more comfortable. But here, nobody sees it. It's just on imperceptible computer disk, which only if later, if you take it, and you put it in, whatever you have to do to make it, you see it. That, so you can say that's not as big as, but it would be a tremendous Zilzal Shabbos that way. A tremendous Zilzal Shabbos. We can have, you know, recordings of, photo recordings of activity, simchas in a shul on Shabbos, and I think it would be, and it's not just my opinion, but it would be tremendous pirtz and kedusha Shabbos and kavod Shabbos, and by itself, even if it absolutely stopped there, it would be already zilzal gadol in kedusha Shabbos. But who knows what it stopped there? Even who knows what's going to be the next step? If something like that'll be okay. Okay. Anyway, but so Rav Shmuel says here, or Rav Shmuel's opinion is recorded here, that as long as you don't care about it, there's no concern about it.
They could pose for family pictures.
What is that?
They could pose for family pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Which would be, and this, the same thing, it appears similar to Shonos in, similar. The Shmir Shabbos, I think, says one different, slightly different Knech. Let's just see. Here. I don't know. He says like this. The Shmir Shabbos in the new Madura, Perek Chav Gimel Sif Samadal. Bayis Asher Beknisasun Muskenes Matzleimot B'Magal Sagur Asher Matzigo Tmunas Kol Anichnasin L'Binyan Al Gabi Hamesa. Okay, a place where there's a camera and it appears on the screen. Harei Shem Hishira to Luka Merif Shabbos. If it was left on over Shabbos, or Yantin. Or if it goes on, you know, with a timer on certain hours, mutalav der shem, you're still allowed to go there. Let me just read at the bottom. He says, ki ein kan kol ksiva. There's no writing going on here. Rak galei zerem hachashmal, the electronic waves or rays, heim shigormel letzmun lehivatz, they cause the picture to appear. Vegam mikimin shikol kavanosu rak mitame b'tichus, you hold the reason just for security. Then he says, I saw a letter sounds like a letter written by your Moshe Tzal Mishnas Tavshin Mem Beis. It's around 1982, 1981, 1982. El Harav Yisrael Rosenschlitter. He's, I guess, okay. Then, but he continues, and this it could be beginning from the Be'er Moshe, the David Sina. He says, Omdam im hatzmun nish'eres v'nishmeres besoch menagnon ha-matzlemo. If the picture is, the images are captured within the camera, yishtad the lo-lover darka. Should try not to go there. I mean, now that's always the case, right? Typically, that is this. He says, but you don't have to. You don't have to ask. You don't have to find out. If you can go there. If you're not sure, you can go there. I mean, I think, I don't know, unless I'm not understanding the Hebrew properly, it sounds like he's saying that if it's being recorded on some sort of film, obviously it's not a picture in the camera, like you know, it's obviously just the computer images, computer dots. But he seems to say that. But it sounds like time for the Be'er Moshe that you shouldn't. But then he writes at the bottom, Abnam Yeshlam Akivin Shu Kimisasik, Bederach Lichasim, and Kavanas Letzilim Zeb, etc. Yeah, he doesn't. It could be he wrote that just to be Chosh of the Be'er Moshe, but he seems to say at the bottom that it's not such a big issue. And I think that's the basic approach. So the bottom line is certainly if the screen is off, that's what we advise people. People that want to leave on a camera, and you know, at least the screen should be off, and it certainly shouldn't be a camera that's a motion detector, right? It shouldn't move with anybody who comes. That the camera begins to move to just a camera that's completely stationary, and just even if anybody comes to your front door, it might be within the field of the camera, but nothing. The screen is completely off, and it's just recorded. So in the event they have to look for some reason, they could look. So that we don't tell people that's us to do if they want to do that, if they feel, you know, for security or other reasons they want to do it, they're told that it's okay. Many would tell them that it's okay. And again, even the Rabbi Yashiv was just concerned about the fact that it's on a screen, and even that he was willing to be mekel if as he said, if they would work it out that the image wouldn't stay, the image would just appear, I guess, a couple of seconds and then naturally go away. Okay. I mentioned on Shabbos when I spoke Shabbos morning about these thermometers or whatever they call them now, temperature fever readers that words appear or letters appear based on the level of the person, the temperature, and so the Poskim aren't too concerned about that either for a chola. At least for a chola, I said for a chola. If it's the only thing avad, if you have a standard thermometer, you should use a standard thermometer. But if it's a chola, even a chola she'en bo sakana, and it's the only thermometer available, or it's in the hospital where they specifically used dafka this system, so they said it's okay because it's it could be it's a derabbanan. Rosh Hashanah didn't hold that. See, that's a little different. That wasn't really digital. There, the letters and everything, it was all there. It's just that it doesn't appear until the heat, or the heat, the body heat makes it appear. So that Rosh Hashanah held is like the case of the Prima Gadim, where you have invisible writing, which shows up when you expose it to a certain heat, to a certain light. And he said, even though it's not niskayim, right? It's not niskayim, because when you take it off away from the heat, it goes away. But he still held that it's aser midrabbanan, and he was in the mail. If there's another option, you have to use another option. But if there isn't another option, then it's like any other drabbanan, that it's mutter for chol hashem bo sakana. That's really what we spoke about on last Shabbos. Okay, let's just see. Maybe then one or two other things before we wrap up. Close save. I don't remember exactly what we spoke about or didn't speak about last week, but a lot of different things in Kose, but I think we touched on a bunch of the main ones. I just mentioned, I'm not sure how much we spoke about it, but it's a famous thing, it's a famous Chayodim. Chayodim, it's not in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Netilas Shadayim. where the Chayyadim says that if a person, it's on Shabbos, and a person's hands are blackened, they were blackened from the side of a pot, which is black, or something similar. So he says, you have to be careful on Shabbos if you wash your hands and, you know, dry them, rub them clean, and it's going to come off, you're over an Isser of Mochik. It's called Mochik. You're erasing the blackness from your hands. And he says, it's also to do that. It's like even if you're not mechavim for that, you're just trying to wash your hands and dry your hands, but it's a psik resha where it's definitely going to come off, then that's called mochik. Now, it is clear in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch that if there's some tishtush, some just black scribble or you know blackness on a paper, and you erase that in order to write, that's mochik. But here, the chiddush, you're not planning on writing. It's not a writing surface. You know, your hands are not a writing surface, and you're just doing it because you're washing your hands. You want your hands to be clean. It's for tils yadayim for the meal or for any other reason. But he says, nonetheless, the chayim, if you want to see where this is, it's in klal mem sif ches. And the first chayim is broken up into two chalak, and the first is or planer chayim, then he starts over again hilchas Shabbos. So this is klal mem in the first section, not in the Shabbos section. The first section, it's in hilchas tils yadayim, and he says this halacha. But many are mefakpik on it. If you look in the Das Torah from the Marsham, in I think it's in a couple of places, but one place it's brought in Simon Shin Mem Sif Gimel. He says, if that's true, we're going to have a lot of problems. What's a Moel going to do who gets blood on his hands on Shabbos? And you can tell he can't wash the blood off his hands because it's also Mochek. Or women who are involved in the kitchen, they get various things like that on their hands. So he says that and he brings a raya that it's mutter from Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Beis, Sif Yud Aleph, if a person's hand got mud on it on Shabbos, you could wipe it off on the tail of a sus, of a horse. So the whole Shailan talks about why isn't a mukzah. The Berlach talks about why isn't a mukzah. That's a separate question. But you're allowed to wipe it off. Why are you allowed to wipe the mud off your hands? You shouldn't be allowed to. Or it says even Hilchos Yom Kippur in Taf Reish Gimel. I think he says this raya his son told him. His son Reb Yitzchak brought this raya. It said, "Misha hayu yadav mulchlachem betit, o shenotav dam echotmo." This is on Yom Kippur. He got blood on. He had a nosebleed, and he got blood on his hands or whatever it is. Mutar l'rachsam. He's allowed to wash off his hands. So he says, "You see them first. You're allowed to wash these things off." That's you don't consider. Lachein yirli nizdait. He says, "Bikinuach lichluch ba'alma she'enu shel dio." It's not ink. Or Shar Dover Eskayim, Pater Umutter. That's what the Marsham says. You're allowed to do this. That's what he says. And then he adds, and also very often it's a Shalakov at Abrius. Okay. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman also is brought down saying that it's Mutter. He's brought, first of all, in the, in a couple of places it's Mutter. The bottom line is, come on, everybody's Mutter. That if you have black stuff on your hands or the like, you could wash it off in Shabbos. That's the pretty much accepted sign. Okay, we're gonna have to hold it here. Okay. Good night, everybody. I'm gonna hang up. Take care.
What was the problem for you?